Welcome back to Copper Country Today, heard Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock on 97.7 The Wolf, 8 o'clock on 1400 AM 99.3 FM WCCY, and 9 o'clock on KBear 102.3. Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, proud supporters of the Copper Country Humane Society and the Keweenaw Spay and Neuter Assistance Group. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at KeweenawReport.com. Special thanks to Sam Lockwood from the KREC for stopping by in the first segment to update us on the energy crisis in the UP. Now in this segment, I would like to welcome members of the Blue Key Honor Society from Michigan Tech, President Andrew Connolly and Vice President Ian Greenland. Thank you guys for showing up today.
Yes, thank you for having us.
So, Blue Key, tell us a little bit about Blue Key and what you guys do.
Yeah, Blue Key is a national honor society. It's a national organization of honor. And throughout the country, there's different organizations that do different things. Some chapters do their homecoming celebrations, but our Michigan Tech's Blue Key is the proud organizer of the Winter Carnival every year.
Ian, I guess there's so many organizations, so many stuff that people can join and stuff like that. What sets Blue Key, in your opinion, what sets Blue Key apart from all the other organizations?
I think it's because Michigan Tech's chapter, it puts together the largest event that Michigan Tech can pull off. Like, and it's been going on for so many years that, like, these members, we can be proud to be a part of such a great organization that, the biggest organization or the biggest event on campus throughout the whole year. So it's a really good thing to be a part of.
I do want to mention that one of the bigger things that you guys do is the Claire M. Donovan Award. And so what goes into that, into the process of selecting someone annually for that award?
Sure. The Claire M. Donovan Award is presented to someone in the Michigan Tech community or Houghton, Hancock area who has supported Michigan Tech and the values of Michigan Tech extensively. So in the past, we've had people like Scott McGinnis,
mm-hmm.
And a few professors in the Michigan Tech departments, heads of department. So a lot of people who have given a lot of time and effort to advancing the values and outreach of Michigan Tech.
Let's get into Winter Carnival itself. I guess for those who don't know, it's an extensive history on it. So give us a little background on Winter Carnival and how it began.
I don't know how it began.
Yeah, it's about how it's always found its way in the community and it's always gotten people involved. Like, I guess what do people outside of Michigan Tech, because it's a well-known event that goes on. What do you guys hear from people, what they say about Winter Carnival?
Yeah, there's a lot of people who think we're crazy. I mean, last summer I got a call from someone in New Zealand who had heard about Winter Carnival. She had been a graduate student, I believe, and she came up to Michigan Tech for 1 year, and she brought the idea back to New Zealand, of all places, and she wrote an article, and it got published in the New Zealand national newspaper, and it made its way back up here. So it's well known all across the world. A lot of people think we're crazy that we go outside and we spend time in 300 inches of snow or 30 degrees below zero.
Do you guys know of any other places that do anything similar to this, even college campuses? Because I feel like this is the first place I've ever heard of that does something like this.
Yeah, I think we're pretty unique. I mean, we're the only place that, like we said, gets 300 inches of snow.
True.
So I think we're the only ones.
That's the big thing that sets you guys apart.
Yeah, right.
In terms of how it's evolved over the years, I mean, not even necessarily since you guys have been a part of Blue Key, but from what you guys have seen, what are some of the things that have changed over the last couple of years?
Last year we added an interactive statue category.
Oh yeah.
So that was a new thing. That was probably the biggest change we've had in the last few years. But the interactive statues is more geared towards the community. So during the all-nighter, community members can come out and look at different statues being built, look at the all-nighters and watch those being constructed. They can also support student organizations who are selling things on campus. A lot of them sell food or pasties or hot chocolate. But the interactive statues is allowing the community to actually do something when they get to campus. So in the past, we've had the Audio Engineering Society built the giant speakers that, and then we have kind of a DJ and a dance party on campus. But also, there's also ice bowling that you can do during the all-nighter. There's specific organizations who build statues that are designed to be interacted with.
Was that the same as the guy who was having people bowl with like a chicken or a frozen turkey or something like that? Because I remember that it was that's ice bowling. Do you necessarily have to have a chicken or a turkey?
I don't know.
Because I know someone did. Someone was like, "Hey, you want to come bowl?" And I was like, "Okay, sure." And he just handed me a frozen. I don't know, I couldn't tell it was dark.
Yeah, that
chicken or a turkey.
That kind of fits in with the we're kind of crazy up here.
So. Oh, okay. So they were doing their job, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Another big thing with you guys is community involvement, and I guess I wanted to ask you guys, how important is it to pull the people here, not just here in downtown Houghton, but just in the surrounding communities, to pull them into the campus for an event like this?
Well, I think that pretty much the downtown businesses and everybody in this community helps make this happen. There's so many donations that pour in, and we're thankful for that because all those donations, we pour that into this awesome event, and it brings so many people to this area. And it's just an awesome, like, midwinter celebration when people might be, like, hibernating. It's a good thing to get people outside and everything.
And in terms of what are some of the things that bring, I mean, besides the festivities, because I realize, like, is there even, a set number of how many people you guys usually expect to bring in? Like, the campus is already, like, on a regular day, you'll go and you'll see people, but in terms of bringing the community in, how many more people do you guys see? Is it a huge increase?
Yeah, we haven't really gotten a number in the last probably 12, 13 years or so. In 2001, we did a study. One of the departments at Michigan Tech did a study, and they said it was about a $1.3 million economic influx into the local economy. If we look at it more recently, it's about $2 million we're expecting. But we haven't really looked at the specific numbers of the number of people. What we do know is that hotels in about a 100-mile radius sell out, and you can't, you know, as soon as this year's Winter Carnival is done and it rolls around to beginning of March, next year's hotels will be all booked up already.
You're listening to Copper Country Today, here with my guests, the members of the Blue Key Honor Society at Michigan Tech, President Andrew Conley and Vice President Ian Greenland. So let's start off with continue on with the planning of Michigan Tech, of the Winter Carnival. When does that begin? Like, let's say Winter Carnival's over. When does the planning for the next Winter Carnival begin?
It starts right after this one's over.
I figured that's what it is. How extensive is planning everything? Because you're talking about so many different events, booking so many different things. How many people, I guess, are involved?
Well, our organization is probably an organization of about 50 to 60 people. Mm-hmm. So as soon as this one's over, we hold a massive meeting about what went well, what didn't go well, just a big debriefing, and we figure out where we can improve, stuff we want to look at for next year. And then we figure out the new theme, and then the following school year, it starts all over again, just getting everything in place, getting our MCs, comedians, everything like that in place.
I do want to get into the theme, because, let me see, the theme is, while frozen in the ice and snow, we dream of vacations on which to go. Where did the idea come for that one?
Yeah, so right after Winter Carnival, every year we submit a call for anyone to give us any ideas that they have, anything that they've seen in the past that they really liked, and we literally have a document that lists probably 150 themes or so that we choose from. We do have a few rules. It has to be appropriate. It has to. We can't repeat within 10 years. That's just kind of our internal rule to keep the theme fresh. And then, yeah, so we sit down as a Blue Key chapter with all of our new members, and we vote on it, and we debate, and sometimes the debates get a little heated, but it's all in good fun, and we come up with the theme.
Ian, you brought up when you guys look at what what went wrong, or not necessarily what went wrong, but what can be improved upon. In terms of from last year to this year, did any real huge concerns come up regarding last year's Winter Carnival? It seems to me it went off pretty smoothly.
It did go pretty smoothly. I'd say that the one big thing that we changed is the scoring for this year. Last year we had some complaints just about how the scoring could be changed. So this year we changed it so that some categories are weighted differently. Like there's some that changed during the statue competition, and it's just designed to make it the events more competitive for all the other organizations competing.
And then, let's get into that with the Winter Carnival, the whole competition, broken down into the groups, and what were those groups again?
We've got a lot of different groups on campus. We break them down into categories like residence halls, fraternities, women's groups, student organizations, and community groups.
And in terms of the, I guess not specifically the point totals, but what are some of the more higher weighted activities or the competitions within Winter Carnival?
Yeah, the big events are the statue competition. I think the first place winner gets about 80 points, which is about half of the total you can get. Then we've got the stage review competition and the Queen's competition. So those are the main ones. And then there's a lot of smaller special events like ice bowling and broom ball and curling. And all of those add up to quite a few points together, too.
Is there, I guess, I don't want to use the term, I guess, like a dynasty, but does there seem to be certain groups, certain fraternities that are just always near the top or at the top? I think one comes to mind for
me.
Well,
definitely Teaks. They always mm-hmm. impress us with their statue. What's the other one?
Phi Kappa Tau always does a really great job.
Yep.
But a lot of the student organizations do, and they have well-guarded secrets to how they make the very clear ice and how they make their forms so that they can get as much detail out of it as possible. But, yeah, there definitely is some trends that we see. But, you know, with the in a university kind of setting, the students turn over about every 5 years, so the dynasties come and go, but we're always impressed every year.
You're listening to Copper Country Today here with my guests Andrew Conley and Ian Greenland from the Blue Key Honor Society at Michigan Tech. Let's get into the statues. What have you guys heard so far?
Well, we're technically not allowed to say
it. In the most general sense, what have you heard, I guess, from people who are, I guess, passing by?
Yeah,
give me something, guys.
At least from the builders, we're not getting complaints. Last year, they were complaining to us about the weather. We couldn't really control that, but the weather's been cooperating with us this year. As for what the statues are looking like, I don't know. You just have to come out and see. We can't really disclose what they are. Not that we would know either. We take it upon ourselves not to look at the information.
Okay, but that's fair. In terms of, I guess you hit on the weather. For last year, I'm trying to remember. Were there a couple of days where people were not allowed to go out because it was just so cold?
Right. The rule that we have, if the wind chill is below -18, you're not allowed to be out there. And I think that on the other side, if it gets to 40, you're not allowed just for
safety.
Safety, right.
So let's get in. We briefly hit on it, but the all-nighter. I guess where did the idea come from to have just people up all night working on their final touches on the statue and even the festivities with just basically, you know, a club just out there in the cold? And even last year when it was like 5 degrees and people are still out there partying, where did the idea for this part of Winter Carnival come from?
Yeah, actually, the idea for Winter Carnival started in 1922, so that was 93 years ago. Students just decided that they were, I guess, sick of being inside and wanted to celebrate the Keweenaw and the snow that we're so fortunate to have. So they designed an ice carnival. So it was kind of more like a circus, where they had a circus tent on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And then they added the statues about 10 or 15 years later. And then that became the signature event of Winter Carnival.
And with the all-nighter, is it shifts, basically, people work? Because it can't be just the same person up all night doing stuff. Like, how does the planning go in terms of the statues themselves?
The planning for that I believe they start to submit applications in the fall just to make sure there's no overlap and people who get priority get to do their statue first. But they have to submit a sketch to us, and that has to be approved. And then once all of that is approved and they have their site, then right when spring semester starts, that's when they can start building.
For the judges, when they're going around and they're looking at the statues, I guess not from a personal perspective, but what do you feel like they should be looking at when they're judging these statues?
Yeah, the biggest contributors that get scored are the detail, the whiteness of the snow, just the overall quality. It's a lot of the first impression is the most important. So there are smaller things like how well it applies to the theme and the size of it and the magnitude of it. But the biggest thing that's important for the statues are detail and quality.
What are some of the, I guess, the, I don't want to say disqualifications, but what are some of the rules? What are some things you can't do to a statue?
You're not allowed to use any sort of power tools. So it's all hand tools and everything like that. Got to make sure your scaffolding is set up right, because nobody wants to be falling when they're two stories up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be very painful, I guess. But in terms of using, because you mentioned the whiteness of the ice, in terms of what kind of materials you can use within the snow, are there any limitations to that?
As far as I know, it's just snow, and a lot of people make a big slush vat, you know, just of water and snow. That's as far as I know, that's the only thing that gets used.
So let's hit on a lot of the other stuff that's going to be going on. The stage review. How, I guess, is this one of the more popular events that goes on?
Yeah, it is. The stage review brings in quite a few people. It's where eight organizations develop a comedy routine or a comedy skit, and they get up in front of an audience of their peers, and they present it. And there's an audience choice award where the audience gets to vote on who their favorite was. And there's also a panel of judges who watch each of the skits and judge them on quality, on evidence of practice, and a lot of other criteria.
The Winter Carnival Queen, what are, I guess, some of the things, I mean, to have her for, you know, the winner, what are some of her responsibilities? Like, what does she do?
What she does is once she's decided, of course, she goes into the beards competition and she gets to judge those. She also gets to present the MVP award on Saturday night after the hockey game.
Yeah, and the university takes the opportunity to use her as a on advertisements, and she becomes the face of the university for her time in office, we'll say.
I do want to talk about the beard competition, and when you just say beard competition, it seems like very vague. But what goes on as a part of the beard competition? Are we talking about whoever has just the biggest beard? And so, yeah, like what happens during the beard competition?
It's actually broken down into a few categories. You could grow awesome-looking sideburns. You could grow a beard. You could have a goatee, mustache, something like that. And, yeah, pretty much who has the best of all of those wins.
Are we talking about really, really crazy beard? Is it usually beards? Anybody with like really big sideburns ever wins? Mustache, maybe the curly mustache or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, you see everything. It's the contestants have about 2 months to grow a beard, so they come in at the beginning of December clean shaven, and they have 2 months to grow what they can and I don't know, style it how they like it.
What's the craziest beard that you guys have seen? Like in terms of, I guess, length.
I don't know if it's length. We're all kind of young guys, but I think a lot of them are just really full and bushy. And I guess they rival Duck Dynasty beards.
So basically, it's almost like they're trying to form their beard. It's almost like if they could get an instructional video, it'd be from the guys on Duck Dynasty.
It would be, yes.
You got that right.
So the other events that's going to be going on, the curling, ice bowling, snow volleyball, all of these people can participate in from the community. Just show up, I guess, that kind of thing? Or is there a sign-up involved?
Yeah, not quite. There was a sign-up a few weeks ago. The sign-up has now closed. But we do have quite a few community groups, some Taekwondo organizations, and other community organizations who do come and sign up, and they participate in ice bowling and broom ball.
Is there going to be some stuff going on at Mont Ripley as well?
Yeah, a couple of those are with our special events. They have they have skiing and snowboarding as a competition for special events there too.
So, and it would be like snowboarding, skiing. I think it was speed skating too.
Yep.
Just a whole bunch of other stuff that people can see. One that I guess I got some flack for last year that I didn't know much about was broom ball. So, I guess for those who don't know, just a quick rundown on broom ball and why it's a big deal at Michigan Tech.
Yeah, so broom ball is a kind of a recreational hockey. So it's you take a wooden handled broom with bristles and everything. You cut the bristles down and you wrap a bunch of duct tape around the bristles. Then you go out with a bunch of your friends on ice rinks that we have prepared on campus, and you start smacking this little blue ball that goes flying around the rinks. And the goal is just like hockey, to get the ball in the goal. But the big catch is that you don't have ice skates, so you're just out there.
So it's relatively dangerous.
It is, yeah. I mean, people break legs, people break arms, but
I didn't even want to mention that, but since you did mention it, the few minutes I was there last year, I saw somebody separate their shoulder, like right in front of me. Like, it was intense, and of course, he had a big smile on his face.
Sure, it's not a common occurrence, but when it does, I mean, it's a big deal. But it's I don't know how long it's been going on, but it's a big tradition that everyone on campus really looks forward to every January and February.
And in terms of the stick itself, I mean, there are rules, and you can't just go and tape any kind of broom. Like, there are some types of like rules, like how the length of it and where it can be taped, right.
I think the rule is that all of the bristles have to be taped up with duct tape. No metal can be showing from the broom, and if any of that even comes apart during the game, I know you have to quit using it. So it's definitely requires a bit of skill.
And then and of course there's gonna be the fireworks, I believe, let me see, 8:30 on Saturday night, and then the awards ceremony. In terms of the awards ceremony, just basically giving out the awards for each category in each group, and then there's the grand prize.
Yeah, the statue winners in each category will receive a trophy. Same with the Queen's candidates who placed 1, 2, 3, and stage review and all the special events winners, and then of course the coveted overall winner that goes on a giant trophy that's located in the Michigan Tech Library. That everyone really wants to get their organization's name on there, and that's the grand prize.
How intense is the competition, I guess, in terms of the students that are involved? Like, how crazy does it get?
It gets really crazy. I think last year the winner won by just like a few points.
Uh-huh.
So
I do remember that. It was up until the results were coming in bit by bit, and then there was just that last one where they were just so little amount of points. So I guess that really matters with people, because just one little mistake that you can make could cause the difference.
Right. Really, you get rewarded for the number of events that you participate in. So if you participate in statues and queens and stage review and special events, you're setting yourself up to do really well.
So I guess I wanted to ask you guys, in terms of the big overall theme with Winter Carnival and how it impacts the Keweenaw community, what would you guys say, how important is Winter Carnival to this community?
I think it's just an awesome midwinter celebration. It gets everyone outside, and I'm sure in the middle of winter, everybody's like, oh, I just want winter to be over. It's good for everyone just to get outside, see what's happening at Michigan Tech, enjoy some of the weather, and just... I guess I would hope winter would end after this, but celebrate winter with a bang, I guess.
Andrew?
Yeah, I think it's a huge event for the community. It brings a lot of people together, as Ian said. But, of course, the economic impact is absolutely huge. You know, with donations that we get from all of our incredibly generous sponsors, we are able to put on an event that, you know, we're able to put on an event that brings in so many visitors from so many different areas. Like I said, we had people from New Zealand coming, people from Florida and Texas come. You know, I don't know what they're thinking, but, you know, that's just my opinion. And they come and they take help every business that's within, you know, 100 miles of here. And it's just an incredible opportunity that the Copper Country has to bring everyone together.
Alrighty, that'll wrap up this segment of Copper Country Today. I'd like to thank my guests, Andrew Conley and Ian Greenland, for stopping by and telling us a little bit about Winter Carnival. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, you bet. Thank you.
Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, proud supporters of the Copper Country Humane Society and the Keweenaw Spay and Neuter Assistance Group. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at KeweenawReport.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Copper Country Today.